Shank Bagley. Shank Bagley. Shank Bagley. Hello and welcome to Shatbagley, an old Lincolnshire adjective to describe absolutely anything loose and disorderly, which sums up this Lincolnshire lass quite nicely. In a moment we'll talk cooking with plums, hear what we should be doing in the garden and meet a couple of listeners all the way from Canada. First though, with it being episode 15, here are a few other things with the same number. Letter O's in an Italian Scrabble set. The most set of triplets by the same mother? Good grief. And years, Nancy Seabrook was an understudy to the same role, and in turn achieved the Guinness World Record for it. Nancy retired from the company of Mousetrap at the age of 79, after having understudied the part of Mrs. Boyle 6,240 performances and performing the part on 72 occasions. So I hope all okay where you are. Last week I mentioned my sister now has a golden retriever rescued from Turkey and she was having to translate the word sit into Turkish. What I didn't mention was the word, which is otomak. I think that's how you pronounce it, which to me sounds more like a French person trying to decide what to wear for our UK weather. Ot or mak. Anyway, last week we said that the only thing you can do with plums is stew them and put them in a pie. Well, at the weekend, Glyn and I were working at Pershore Plum Festival in Worcestershire as part of their 25th anniversary. One of the chefs was the award-winning Sue Stinchcombe. Sue's worked in Michelin-starred restaurants, including Restaurant Gordon Ramsay, has appeared on television, including BBC's Great British Menu and The Hairy Bikers. And Sue and her husband demoed all things plums using tonka bean, vanilla, maple syrup and thyme. Fair to say, things have moved on.
It's changed, you know. Obviously, you used to just stew them down years ago. I mean, I remember having a crumble. My mum, I don't think my mum even took the stones out. I'm Tinker Tailor Soldier Sailor. That's it. Yeah, I remember all that. So, yeah, it has evolved and it has, you know, and now we're realising as chefs, you know, they're not the easiest thing to make look beautiful and arty and all of that. You know what our chefs are like. But do you know what? We do something at the moment where we've got an almond cake. We slowly poach the plums like we did today. We then peel off the skins. We dehydrate them and they make little plum crisps with the skins. And then we've got the beautiful fruit that then has got that really lovely amber colour as well. And then we use the liquor on the plate. So, you know, it's using the whole thing, but it's just showcasing it differently. So
you can get dehydrators and I suspect you can get them on a well-known site that we won't need to publicise. But how would you, could you do it in the oven as well?
You could do it in the oven. Absolutely, you can do it in the oven. You know, and if you've got the arga, you know, the bottom part of the arga, that works really well. But just do it in the oven. It is tricky because, you know, it is basically a dehydrator. It's a big box with like a hairdryer. It's just hot air that just goes around and that's how it works. I'm sure you could probably do it in these air fryers, can't you? Not that I've got one. But you probably could. Or just turn your oven off and then just leave them in there.
Like you would a jack of potato in the old days.
Don't quote me on it. But
no.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I want to because you're a chef, lovely. I'm not. No, and the thing is you can do savoury things with them as well. It's interesting. We've got a few varieties. This chap that's has given them. Mm. Mind you, we kept on about drooping and all that. I presume he was talking about his... Well, then I was going to say
his
plums, which makes it worse. But there's so many varieties and each one brings something different to the table.
Absolutely. So some of them are a bit more of an earthy flavour, some of them really tart as we've been through. I mean my personal flavour is the Victorias. I absolutely love them and that's why we use them today. But you know we serve them with pigeon, we serve them, you know, as a flavour profile that goes, you know, quite well with the game and things like that. It's just that, you know, has got that sweetness, that tartness to it and obviously we add the sugar in and it goes really well. Yeah. So
well I guess the plums are around what is out there and it's autumn and there is this pheasant going around and all
absolutely and we quite often make, you know, purees that we dot on the plate because it has got that beautiful sort of perfumed flavour as well when you stew it down and we do it dotted on the plate and then we do it raw as well, so it's just that layer of different plum flavours.
You know, apparently you're not supposed to eat too many though. I was looking at this with some plum facts and I think us adults are only allowed sort of 6 to 7 maximum.
Really? Well, that's me done for then. I've had that this morning.
Well, there's a row of toilets over yeah. there. So. So how are you? Because I don't get to see you as much as I'd like to. I know full-time mum yes. as well, but you're doing yeah. a bit of development chefing.
Yes, yeah, so we do some development chefing. So I work for Berry's Ice Cream, which was just Rachel's, and they delivered to sort of Waitrose and the surrounding local places and some restaurants. And I develop different ice creams, desserts for them, which is really lovely. Keeps my hand in with that.
So you have to taste them, don't you? Can't that must be awful?
Absolutely. I used to be a size 6 before this. It's a good job this is radio.
I don't think I was born a size 6, Sue.
Yeah, so I do some development and I also do some consultancy as well. It's just about, you know, juggling things with two little ones. But as you know, Mark and I are so passionate about what we do. We just absolutely love food through and through. So in any capacity, you know, our life has evolved and we're just trying to keep in with what we absolutely love.
Fab woman and a fantastic chef. Thank you to Sue. And we'll hear from her other half, Mark, next week, who works for a company with the royal warrant to supply smoked salmon for the royal family. I know. Staying with plums, though, one of the most original chefs we work with is Felice Tacchini. Originally from Lucca in Italy, the UK has been his home for many years, running Felly's restaurant with his wife Farinda and family in Worcestershire. Passionate about local produce, Felice spends a lot of his time working with schools and also teaches at the acclaimed Novelli Academy for celebrity chef Jean-Christophe Novelli. I grabbed a few minutes with the lovely Felice following his demo, where I asked him if he would kindly share some thoughts on using plums in a savoury dish.
Plums, there's a big variety of them and they all taste slightly different. So if you sort of think outside the box, you can use some of the plums and use them as a vegetable instead of potato. Put them in the oven, slightly roasted. We don't want a little dish that you can use with duck. If you go to Chinese restaurant, they usually do a plum sauce. But instead of do a plum sauce, just roast the duck with the plum, bit of rosemary, little bit of garlic into there. If they're too acidic, add a touch of honey to bring the flavour out. Don't overcook them, because if you overcook them, they go mushy, very mushy. Little bit of crunchiness back onto it. Take them out, bottom of your duck, slice the duck on top, and away you go.
You do know we've left enough time for a sweet one as well now. And I think we need to do a sweet because you did the most amazing tart tatin with a plum. But it was interesting what you mentioned. It didn't want to be too wet at the end, so there's something you recommend to do first.
That's right. Plums are fairly wet as a thing. So unless you use them when they're very green, but then when they're very green and unwrapped, they don't taste very nice. So cut your plums in half, add a touch of sugar, and leave them for an hour or so to dry it upside down so that some of the juices come out. Then baking parchment into a tray, slow oven, about 50-60 centigrade, put them in the oven to dry out so you lose a lot of the moisture out of them. If the sun comes out, you can do that outside, but unless you're in Italy, I don't think that is actually going to work for some strange reason in this country. So, and then what you're going to do, you do your caramel into the pan with your spices, add the plums, cover with puff pastry, very, very hot oven, so you cook the pastry, turn it out of the oven, lose some of the caramel that the plums and the juice will have produced, and then you got a fantastic little plum tatin.
Yeah. It's not long enough, the plum season, is it? And that's if we get them in for the squirrels and the birds.
You could do with the season be a little bit longer, but hey, you got to do the most of when they're about.
Yes, yeah. Do you have a favourite season as a chef?
Every season brings something different. I was saying, being Italian, Italy offers more of the season because there's much more variety. There's always lots of different things. This country, I know that everybody goes on, you're going to talk about sprouts now. But during the winter you got all the cabbage, not only all the brassica that comes out, you got during the summer we got the strawberry, the raspberry, the blueberries, the red currant, black currant. There's always something new, something exciting, not only to try out. And I know that we added last year because it was the same time last year, but there's something new that you can do with it and just play with it. That there's always something out there, you just got to look for it.
I have to apologise to you, Felice. I've let you down because I really did. I started learning Italian And it was at the beginning of the year, sort of, I don't know, April, March, April. And I wanted to introduce you on the stage in Italian. And I really tried. But then just work and life took over. So I do apologise. But I promise next time.
That's all right. I'll teach you. I'll wash it up job. So you can come and do some washing up for me. And once you do the washing up, I'll teach you a lot of Italian.
I now have a week to learn something, as Felice is with us again at Ludlow Food Festival this time next week. Uh-oh. Thank you, Felice. We always learn something new when he joins us. And speaking of which, 55 countries are now tuning in to Shatbagley. And this week we made the charts in Israel, Vietnam, the UK and Australia. So a huge thank you and welcome as always. As you know, I do love hearing from you. And two people who have been in touch since the beginning of the podcast are mum and daughter, Loreen and Anna from Canada. They are currently on holiday in the UK, touring up and down the country in a coach, which began in London before heading to Cardiff and stopping in Ludlow for an hour and a half. So I went to say hello, took them on a short sightseeing trip down to the River Teme. So what do they think of our little town?
Thought it was very nice, beautiful views, a nice walk down to the river. It was nice to meet you, Katie, and be with my mom. Yeah.
It's all right walking down, it's the walking back up. And
no, it was good exercise.
God, mind you, you've two have not broken a sweat. I've had to take my coat off. Yeah. Have you done York yet? I know you're doing York.
No, we're going to do York after Edinburgh. We did do York last year, but we only had 30 minutes. So this time we get to overnight in York. So we're really looking forward to it. I think it's the Shambles. Is that right?
Oh,
we want to look.
There?
Yeah, we want to go there. Yeah.
Well, Harry Potter was filmed there as well. So it's beautiful. It's very narrow. Yeah. But yeah, absolutely stunning. So you've been there. You're heading to Ludlow after heading to Liverpool rather after Ludlow.
Yep, Liverpool. And then on to two nights in Edinburgh.
Oh, my Lord.
And then a night in York.
Yeah,
and then back to London. Yeah,
and then you fly home to where?
To Victoria, British Columbia, on the 5th, though. Yeah.
So at the moment, we're sort of supposed to be still in our summer. What's it over there weather-wise?
It's been really nice while we were gone. My husband said it's like 27 degrees.
No.
Yeah. So it's been really, we missed some really hot weather, but that's okay. It's been pretty nice here. I mean, overcast, but we haven't had too much rain.
Well, it's lovely to see, and thanks for stopping off at our little old town, and I shall let you go and explore the rest of your trip. Safe journeys, and we'll catch up when you're home.
Oh, thank you. So great to meet you.
And lovely to meet you too, Loreen and Anna. And hello to your friend Lisa, who also tunes in. They kindly brought me a bar of Rogers chocolate all the way from Canada, which I have to say was gorgeous. And I had a look, and it was established in 1885, Canada's first chocolate company, with its home in Victoria, British Columbia, where Loreen and Anna are from. I wouldn't move. Time for my next guest, and I thought it'd be rather nice to chat about gardening every so often, and I couldn't think of anyone better than this man. Reg Moole comes from a well-established horticultural family with several generations in the industry. Trained nearly as long as a doctor would before running a garden centre for 25 years. He's a regular speaker at gardening events, writes for magazines. He's published his own books and broadcasts regularly on BBC Radio. He also happens to be one of the nicest people you could ever wish to meet. And I'm going to let Reg introduce where we recorded our bit from.
We are at the Pershore Plum Festival. Mm-hmm. And in the background, no doubt you can hear the bells of Pershore Abbey chiming out.
And it is, there's a sign outside, it's probably about 4 foot in height, of individual letters that have been spelling out plums for the entire day.
Yes.
So they put the signs in the marquee, and then we just came out with the signs, Reg, but appears we spelt it wrong.
Yes. We've got the S at the beginning and the P at the back.
That's how we'll all be feeling by the end of the day. It's lovely to see you. You and I worked together for a long time, well, many moons ago, doing gardening question times and the like. You've been doing your gardening here. It's gone down all right, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. You know, there's been quite a few people around, and it's good to see. You know, when you start, you have the place about half, perhaps three quarters full, and then it's good to see as you keep going, more and more people sort of standing at the back, and eventually so many people are standing at the back that the first lot have to move forward and sit down, and so it's all good.
the first lot, they have to say, Reg, put your clothes back on, lovely. You've got a full audience now.
Yes, yeah, that would move a few people out, wouldn't it, eh?
So, where are we? We're beginning September, so we're coming into September. Yeah. I always think it's nice, because food and gardening are intricately linked, mm-hmm. with vegetables, with fruit, but also plants, because it's all got a part. Yeah. What should we be doing in our garden this next couple of weeks, Reg?
Well, as this festival is sort of trumpeting, it's a great harvesting time now for a lot of things. And particularly, as in here, the plums and the apples will be starting along next. So you've got to keep an eye on them and make sure that you're picking them. And also, you know, look out for ones that are rotten. It's surprising how many people look at the tree. If there's a rotting plum on there, then they just forget about it, leave it and pick the good ones, or even take the rotten ones and throw them on the floor. And that is not really the best thing to do, because what happens then is those fruit, if they are rotting on the tree, they've usually got a problem called brown rot. And that turns the fruit into a sort of mummy that either lurks around under your tree, or it hangs on the branches, often in inaccessible places. And then that produces the infection for next year. Oh. So you've got to clear those up. They're just as important as picking the good ones is getting rid of the tricky ones. Oh. So there's that. And we're always looking ahead in gardening as well, aren't we? And what's happening now is we're changing our gardens, or thinking about changing, for the autumn and winter. And more people now are doing winter hanging baskets and winter containers in their garden. I mean, you don't have to do it as much or do as many as you do during the summer, of course. Mm. But just one or two really helps to brighten the day up when you're looking out of the window. Yeah. And there's that bright container with perhaps some pansies in it, or some violas. Violas are like small pansies, and they tend to flower better when we get the duller, milder winters that Britain has been having for the last few years.
And summers.
Well, yeah, and summers. You can't tell much difference, do you? We don't get seasons anymore here. We get weather. You know, what's it doing today? Oh, well, sunny now, but it might snow. So, you know, you have to think about changing your containers over. And, of course, another thing that's coming up at this time of year are the autumn bulbs. They'll be lurking around in your local garden centre. And, you know, although they're all there, there are some that it's worth buying earlier if you want to get them, you know. And among those are the prepared hyacinths. If you want to grow hyacinths yourself for Christmas, you have to buy the prepared bulbs. And if you want them out by Christmas Day, you should have them planted by around about the third week in September. Ah. To get them out for actual Christmas Day. If you have them later than that, of course, they will flower after Christmas, which is equally nice, because they have that lovely scent as well as the beautiful flowers. And they're very, you know, very easy to grow on yourself, you know. If you don't want to do a lot, so what I do is I put them into individual pots, the bulbs, little 3-inch, 3.5-inch pots. And I got an old bucket, and there's a hole in the bucket, which is why it doesn't get... Yeah, which is why it's water moving days are over. But that's good for what I'm doing, because it's a bit of drainage. And I put some sand in the bottom of the bucket, and then I have about 6 pots that I put inside the bucket on top of the sand with the bulb in, make sure they're well watered, and then cover them with another 4 inches of sand. Oh. And then you just put that out in the garden somewhere, preferably in the shade. Don't put it in your greenhouse, because it's too hot in there. It has to go outside. And then when you've done that, put some wood over the top of it, or at least a plastic bag, because that does two things. It keeps a lot of the rain out, but it also prevents the local cats using it like a cat loo, because they think, hello, this is convenient. And then you get them out, you check them occasionally, and you bring them out of that, you know, bucket, in my case, and bring them into the house. When the shoots are about 1.5 inches long, mm-hmm. then they're ready to move in. But don't take them straight into the house. I take them into a garage and put them on the windowsill so that they get some light, but not a huge amount.
Right.
And the same with heat. It's a bit warmer, but not a lot. Okay. Because if you take them straight into the house, it's too hot, and you just get big leaves and a little miniature flower.
Oh, so not what you want.
No, not what you want. So gradually bring them into the warmth, and they're good. And then other things, if you want proper autumn flowering crocuses, you need to buy those now and plant them. Those are things like Crocus zonatus and Crocus byzantinus, those ones. And you need to plant those soon, because if you don't, they'll be flowering in the packets.
Thank you, Reg. And Reg has agreed to join us every so often on Shapbaggily. So please do subscribe to the podcast, then you won't miss him when he next appears. I'll put a picture on Shapbaggily's Instagram and Facebook pages of the plum sign too. One chap was looking at it for ages and he even said, well, what should it read? So obviously it's quite famous, the annual Pershore Slump Festival. Meant to say I had my hair done since we last caught up, and once again overheard the most unusual of debates. Are you ready? White knickers. Should they only be worn as children? Better get on, otherwise I'll be late for school. As always, you can get in touch, be it via social media or email, podcast@theshackbaggily.co.uk. And if you feel the urge to leave a review, please don't fight it. And as I mentioned, I hope you're following or subscribing too, as it does help when I ask guests to join us. So that's it for another week. Thank you for listening and see you next time. Right then, Turkish last week. Now for the Italian.